This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? Hey, Steve-O, Rich, how you guys doing?
I'm doing great, man. This is I'm standing next to two guys that grew up together in Granite City, Illinois, and you guys are rocking out to the intro, and me and Edwardsville guy just sitting back, relaxed,
nice and chill. People don't know about how filet mignon you people are in Edwardsville.
Hey, listen, there's Cowboy fans around the world, and we got plenty here in this town too, bud.
Great. I may lose some sleep. Hey, Rich.
Hey, baby.
Good to have you on board, babe.
Absolutely.
Hey, Brian, I told you to get our guy on there too. It's called... Jono, Steve-O, and Rich.
I like Big Rich.
How about Kicking Rich?
How about whatever
Boom!
Rich wants to be?
That just came right at us. I'm over here playing the air guitar with Jono, and Steve's in the background. Were you playing the drums with me, man?
No, man. I had a little flashlight going. I think I was doing with you guys.
Hey, fellas.
He does have a flashlight in here.
Fellas, before we get to anything, before we get to the Baltimore showdown, what about our man Tony Romo? Outstanding, and Rich, you're wearing number 9.
Tony Romo jersey.
Out of total respect, man.
Dude,
that's beautiful.
Should I ask, what happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
if you were not under a rock these past couple of days, I mean, this is the story of the year, right? Is this the sportsmanship award of the year here?
Didn't I tell you on that last show?
I'm saying yes.
Wasn't I the guy that brought it up? That
Jono did.
Tony had a talk with him. Tony had a talk with Jerry. I think. He's passing the torch on here.
Well, obviously it was, to remove all controversy, you got to remove all doubt. He is healthy, okay? We're getting him back, and we're going to see him in uniform, which is a huge, huge deal, right? And that's the best, at the end of the day, the best thing for the Cowboys.
The best backup in the NFL.
Yeah, is to have two capable quarterbacks that just in case. We have an insurance policy, and he's wearing number 9, and I love it.
Yep. Rich, your take on this. When he said magical, what'd you think of there? His hair standing up on his arms, I tell you.
Higher than the hair on my head, and that's way up there. That's big stuff. Okay, I can talk. Woo! Character, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. Class act character. And Steve-O, you brought it up last week. You'd mentioned about, what team in the NFL has two quality quarterbacks? And we stumbled over New England, which, we had to because I guess it's the right thing to do.
It's basically New England.
But anyway. Truthfully, I mean, you got Dak Prescott playing out of his mind, and you've got Tony Romo. And those at home, if you have not watched that, I posted it on my Facebook page. I tagged Steve-O and Jono and about 100 other people on there. Check that thing out. It's a Tony Romo speech. And the latest one, they actually put together a little video show with it. I don't know if you guys saw that or not, but holy cow, did that look. I mean, that man, you talk about goosebumps, and it's showing all the old quarterbacks because during his speech, he talked about, being a quarterback is to take your team kind of to the promised land. You're counted on to win. He loves that kind of pressure. But then for a man, I used this on my podcast earlier today, the Kickin' Life podcast, about for him to say magical, for a man, a quarterback, to say somebody else has made his team magical. Oh, my gosh.
Where do you find that, Rich? Steve, where do you find people like
this? It's team before self.
Team before self.
And I'm telling you, we do a lot of shows with lineupmedia.fm. We do the youth baseball talk. We do Cardinal stuff. We do MMA stuff. We do a lot of stuff. And as we talk from a fan's perspective, we often go to that team before self. And we had that talk today on our Bleacher Bum one with Joey Votto.
Right.
And you brought that up. And now you look at our beloved Cowboys, the leader, okay? A guy who's going to be in the Ring of Fame, right?
Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor up there.
Yeah.
So, and Hall of Fame, sorry, combining the two. But we're talking about this guy gets up there and says team before self. And make no bones about it, he says, I do want to be out there, okay? But at this point, the best thing for the team is let's stay with the role. I'm healthy. Let me know what I can do to help the team.
Now, fellas, let me ask you guys this. Was it the fact that he could dress, but he wasn't dressing, and now he wants to dress, and he wants to be part of that team, part of that imagery of running out there with the team. You think that had something to do with it too? Or did they just want him to keep wearing the street clothes and just hanging out on the sideline? Because that had to be bothering him after a while. Hey, I am now going to accept the role that I'm the backup. I get to dress and I get to cheer on my team in the proper way.
Now, 4-5, 5-4, 6-3, Romo's in there before he's 100%. You know, 8-1.
Last week he was ready to go.
Yeah, 8-1? No. You gotta keep him where he is.
What about you, Rich?
Part of that video, when he gave his speech, and like I said, they put the video together, part of that was showing all the different clips of him getting hurt, and then another one was when he came out on the field, and I tell you, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about Tony Romo, how do you not know who Tony Romo is, but he's showing his red on-field badge to the security guys, comes on the field. You have to really watch for it, but if you see that in there, it's like, oh my gosh, because he's talking about how he's in a darker place than he's ever been before. Because, you know, he wants to be on that field. He wants to be a competitor. But like we all said, team above self. Team above self. And that's character. That's honor, integrity, and that is the true sign of a leader. Saying, you know what? I want to lead, but physically I'm unable to. And I cannot put me over the team. Now, as we know, we got quarterbacks that are kneeling in the NFL and putting themselves and their whatever above the team, which I'm totally against. Now we've got a class act like Tony Romo saying, team above me. I don't want to create a distraction. I don't want to take away magic.
Let's look at a bigger picture here, all right? And I'm going to throw out some stuff that, you know, the NFL right now is going through some controversy, okay?
Ratings are down.
Ratings are down, okay? The Cowboys, we know, is the number one draw for the NFL. If the Cowboys are good, NFL is good. The NFL is better with the Cowboys being good to great. So what does this do when a guy like that steps up? Do you think you grab those borderline fans that might have said, you know what, I'm going to turn this show off with the Ray Rice, with the Adrian Peterson, with the Colin Kaepernicks of the world out there, with the me, look at me, look at what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, you turn off some of those edge fans to now all of a sudden you got America's team and a guy that is doing something the right way. What do you think? Do you think we can get some ratings here?
Rich, I think he really touched on something because – you're seeing every week Cam Newton get in front of that microphone and with his flamboyant outfit and just saying he doesn't like this, he doesn't like that. Here's a guy that steps up to the mic and he's saying how privileged he is
to play the game,
to be a part of this, to be a part
of something bigger than him.
Bigger than him. And he's saying how humbly is he saying. I think Steve touched on it. It's incredible that he's saying to the public that this is not about me. This is something that you keyed on, Rich, a minute ago, saying it's magical.
Yep.
And that's what we have here. I think wherever he goes, I mean, I don't know. That's our next question. I'll bring that up. But wherever he goes after the Cowboys, he will always have a legacy that will always be up top. And from that point, I think you're going to be looking at people that follow the NFL, the writers, the critics and everything, and they will never have anything bad to say about Tony Romo from this point on.
Here we go. Ready to take a shot? Look at Kurt Warner with the Rams and the things that he was able to do, and all of a sudden he makes a move from, you know, he went had a little stop there in New York, but makes a move out to Arizona to a squad, and there were a lot of followers around here that followed to that team because of the character of what one man showed, okay? And he elevated that team. And I look for big things still out of Tony Romo, yes. Whether he's in a Cowboy uniform, whether it's Jets, Bears, you know, Cardinals, whatever it might be for his future. And I think that he will actually bring fans with him that are still Cowboy fans, but they're Romo fans, and they will travel and be more interested in what he does.
Emmitt Smith, when he went to the Arizona Cardinals.
I'll be honest with you, Rich, that doesn't play a role because I really still didn't get into the Cardinals.
I was tracking his yards, but that was about it.
Excuse me. On that note, I definitely think if he goes to a team like Denver, that I think that would be a perfect fit. But you know what? I'm not talking about that. Yeah, I really don't want to talk about that. I'm saying if he does go anywhere, that number nine will still be loved by the Dallas Cowboy organization and the fan base. It's not going to be the same as Emmitt Smith because Emmitt did that on his own. He could have rode off into the sunset.
Right.
He was done. When it's not the same with Emmitt Smith with a Tony Romo. Tony Romo still got a lot of play in those legs.
That's a mileage left.
Right. Yeah.
But you saw what they did with Emmitt. They brought him back, signed him to a contract just so he could retire a Dallas Cowboy.
And that's
a class organization.
That will happen.
Well, I think we almost lost my train of thought here, but talking about other people following and what it's done to the NFL. So I posted that, and you know, you got people that, like us, love the Cowboys, and everybody listening to this, we love the Cowboys, and we can't understand why in the world other people don't love the Cowboys, but not everybody's going to. But I got all kinds of feedback on my post in a positive manner. You know what? I hate the Cowboys, but I'll tell you what, I've got respect for Tony Romo. I've got respect for what he did. That's a real leader. That's a real man. Now, by saying that, maybe they edge the, you know, maybe that sharpness of hate. They're watching the Cowboys now. They're watching football now. So they're doing something like you'd mentioned, the NFL. Numbers are down like you've never seen before because people are tired of all the flamboyant me nonsense. Well, here a guy steps up and, you know, come from the heart. And I don't care how the biggest, strongest men, I mean, I'm goosing up again in those rooms. You touch their heart, man. You've done something special, and he has.
In all fairness, though, for the ratings to go down, you have so much political base right now, and I think that it's played a lot of role into this whole NFL thing being down. Personally, I don't even want to get into it about that basis, but if you're a football fan, you had that stuff going on in the 70s and the 80s. I don't need to hear that the guy's doing this in the end zone or Cam Newton dressing like that. We had the Hollywood Hendersons back then as well.
It's a social media.
Now, what it is, it's a political base, and if it's down, I really don't see this being for many years to come. I see this as a temporary thing here, and that's it.
And I can buy that. But let's switch gears a little bit when you talk about that. Now, you're a fan of the NFL, obviously. You're a fan of football, and obviously the Cowboys.
For life.
For life. Well, what is your feeling on the celebration? I have mine. I like when a guy scores a touchdown. I like the celebration, whether it's the dunking the ball, shooting at the Lambeau leap, the six shooters, the
bob and weave. Bringing up a good point. Well, what's your call on that?
But I had one. I want to go one step further because I want to put up the adverse side of that. The thing I don't like, okay, that drives me absolutely insane, is it's 36-6. And you make a sack when the game's either in hand or too far behind to make a difference. You know, it's late in the fourth, and you get up and you want to celebrate like you won the Super Bowl. Now, that irritates me. But I'm telling you what, if it's a big game, if it's a close game, the emotions are riding, boom, let's do it. Same thing in baseball. Jose Bautista, big, big, big moment, hits the home run, bat flip, as opposed to a guy that does the same thing in the third inning of a game in the middle of July.
Right.
Perfect. I tell you, I'm an emotional guy. I carry those emotions, you know, I'm highs and lows and everything else. I'm all about the celebration as long as it's the three characters. I've mentioned this before: honor, integrity, and respect. And what I mean by that is never try and show somebody else up because that shows how disrespectful you are. Honorable to know the situation, meaning you score a touchdown in the Super Bowl or the touchdown that Elliott scored late in the Steelers game, oh my gosh. I mean, you talk about emotions here, I'm doing a freaking dance jumping up and down because that's just how it is. Same thing with any sport. You score a goal, I'm a big hockey fan too, and it's a key moment in the Stanley Cup Finals. Oh, heck yeah. However, middle of the season, you're winning 6-0, you know, yeah, you put your stick up, but that's it. And, of course, you know, the NHL, not to change subjects here, they got a way of disciplining one another, which I really like. But brought up, you know, the thing you brought up, Steve-O, reminds me of Mark Gastineau. Remember the Gastineau shuffle or whatever? Yeah. What was the sack dance? And the Jets were in the playoffs. He goes into his dance, but he caused a fumble. But he was dancing away and didn't recover the football. They end up losing. I think it was against Miami.
So you remember that.
New York sack exchange.
Well, I tell you what, guys, you're bringing up a great point. And the person that I feel, Colleen, we're going to have Colleen on here, and Colleen will fill us in. Her point on this whole Tony Romo, and I know she's taking this a little personal too. Hey, Colleen, are you out there?
I'm here.
Colleen, great to have you on the show here. We got Rich here. We got Steve-O. How you doing?
We're doing good. I'm doing good here.
That's great. That's great. Well, you know what's been around the whole TV set there, NFL channel and all that? Steve-O, throw it out there.
Has the news hit you yet out there, the big news with Tony Romo?
Yes, the news hit me, and I cried like a baby.
I'm with you, Colleen. I was crying and tearing up and goosebumps all over the place here.
You ought to see Rich. He's got his number 9 cowboy jersey on, and out of total love and respect now, Colleen.
Always there.
Yep, and Sunday is going to be hats off to Tony Romo. Much respect to him, and people are going to... They're rallying together to try to get everybody going to the game to wear a number 9 jersey.
Holy cow.
Nice.
That will be so damn beautiful. Honest to God, guys.
Yeah. I hope they pull it off. I hope that a lot of people come together and do just that.
Now, Colleen, let me ask you this. I read your post after that. You had that interview with Tony Romo giving out the speech there. You said anyone that doesn't or just doesn't feel good with this, I do not even want to be a part of you. It's really hit home like that, hasn't it?
It has. You know, I don't want any haters to make
exactly
comments.
Exactly.
You know, I don't need that. I think that he deserves respect, and I think that even if you didn't respect him before, after that speech, you should respect him.
He's done everything right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he didn't, it wasn't like he was having a bad season
exactly.
And then he got hurt.
That's what I've been telling these guys, yeah.
The best season ever. And then he got hurt. Last season wasn't his fault.
Exactly, exactly. And you know what got Rich really, I mean, with his hair standing up on his arms as he talked about the last 5 minutes ago, was that word that he used in that was magical, that he doesn't want to get in the way of something that is magical. That is saying something, guys.
Well, and I think with Colleen mentioning trying to rally everybody wear the number 9 jersey, it just goes to show you there are good people out there, and everybody has a heart, and they believe in that, and they want to get behind something like that, which is, you know, basically our country loves heroes. They love leaders. But you know what they love more than any of that is truth, honesty, honor. You know, someone that is a true
integrity,
person,
like
character.
Said.
Yeah. Right.
Sacrifice. I mean, you look at it with like the Pat Tillman story. I mean, there's, you know, something else will get you on a motivational thing. But, you got something out there, and you put it above yourself.
It gives some people something to hope for, to believe in. You know what? There are good people in this world.
Well, what's your call on that, Colleen?
Well, I agree. Something that has kind of ruffled my feathers and it's all the people who right now want to trade Tony Romo.
Right,
and,
right.
And you know, okay, I realize that he's going to make 24-something million next season. But Dak's only making $2.2 million, okay?
Yeah.
So it's not like... I mean, I honestly don't believe that they're going to trade him. I think they would be stupid to trade him.
Yeah, Colleen, I think this is your heart talking here because I think with what we have, if you're going to start Dak, it's hard to explain a salary like that. And again, I told the fellas, and I'm going to have to tell everyone else on this too. If there is something done after the season, God bless whatever. I don't want Tony Romo to be on the bench and saying I can play. And the guy, I know Tony Romo. He doesn't deserve to be on the bench. Wherever God takes him to, I'm still supporting him.
And I like that train of thought, Jono, but let's think of it something differently. The guy's gone through a slew of injuries, okay? He still has his wits about him. You don't want him to get knocked out and go out on those terms. So, to me, I mean, look at all the injuries and issues you've had across the league with quarterbacks. Roethlisberger's been out. Russell Wilson's been hobbled. You had Brady suspended. You had all these quarterback problems in all these other cities that all of a sudden you look at it, I'm telling you, we are in a pretty damn good situation. And if you only have $2.2 million tied up with Dak, boy, I sure wouldn't mind seeing him as a backup.
It's not fair to him.
I get it. It's not fair. Fair. But it's not, is it fair? That. Are you looking for Tony or are you looking for the Cowboys?
What's your call on this, Colin?
I don't think that Tony Romo will have a problem with it. Yes, he's ready to play. Yes, he wants to get out there and play. But...
yeah.
He also has said more than once that he does not want to go play for another team, even if he could start for that team and win a Super Bowl ring.
Wow.
Now, he said that last season. He said it the season before.
But
he repeated it again this season.
It's really difficult now in the situation that he's in now, Colleen, because now you have a person that's fulfilling the team's desires on winning, and all, he's making everything possible. Because the last 2 years that he's been hurt or whenever he's went down, we've never had that opportunity or that luxury to have someone fill in, and we couldn't wait for Tony Romo to come in.
Right.
Rich, it's a situation now to where the guy has to almost say, I don't want to ride the pine. And I understand what Colin's saying. Colin's speaking from the heart.
And I'm going to go on both sides. The heart one, I want him to be a Cowboy forever. And it's a great luxury to have him there because the NFL, things happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Things happen. And, you know, things always seem to have a way of working out. You never know what's going to happen here. However, if you watch the video, and we all know this, his press release there, seasons are getting short, you know. He doesn't have as many seasons to play. They go
and
by faster and faster.
Too. He said, I'm in my mid-30s.
The seasons are getting shorter. I remember back when I first started here, and I'm all goosey up today, but he realizes he's got a limited window of opportunity left. He realizes what he's got here. So as much as he wants to stay with the Cowboys, and I'd love for him to stay, I don't know. He loves that competitive edge. He loves to be out there on the field because he's a competitor. Now, here's the thing. Maybe he could do like we discussed earlier. You know, go to Denver or someplace that's got a good offensive line that can protect him for a couple seasons, maybe wins a ring, but then come back and be an offensive coordinator with the Cowboys or something of that nature as they put his number up. But he's a competitor. I want him to stay, but he wants to play.
Steve-O, do you feel that he will retire a Cowboy?
Yes.
Yes. Colleen.
I believe that, too.
He'll retire a Cowboy without a doubt.
That's true.
I just don't see him going somewhere else.
Well, I agree, Colleen. I think you're in a great position right now.
I don't think he'll do it, and I don't think the Cowboys will do it because they don't want to go back to a Whedon or
Sanchez.
How many quarterbacks did we go through last season?
Oh, listen, yeah. the guy owns every record.
We need a backup quarterback, and right now we've got a great one.
I think John was saying that is he a backup? But I don't know. It's a tough one. I just say things work out in the NFL somehow, some way. So we've got this season to ride through. Heck, we're only in week 10 right now. We've got a little ways to go here.
Right.
And where he's at, he's healthy. I'm feeling pretty dang good because the playoffs, they're a heavy hitter.
First time as a Cowboy fan, I really feel optimistic about, God forbid, if my QB goes down, I got this guy coming in that I know can fulfill everything that the Cowboys need to do on that day.
Then why on earth would you want to give that up?
Because it's not about me. It's about Tony Romo.
No, it's about the Cowboys.
Tony Romo is going to come. He's got that much pride, he's got that much pull in that organization that raised him. I think he's going to come up to them and say, you know what, fellas, I do not want to be on the bench. As Rich said, I got a couple years left. I want to go down. I want to go down as a winner. And he is a winner, but he wants to play out on the field. This is not the guy that wants to be on the bench. This is a guy that had a broken back, and when we needed him, he couldn't wait to get this back okay to get out there. He had so many numerous injuries that with a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of flamboyant quarterbacks would have taken their time, but this guy came in at 85%
just to get the job.
That, you can't keep a Tiger down like that.
Like I've said, we're in week 10 here. We've got a long way to go with this thing. Right now, it's a great luxury having him where he's at, and I think it's going to pay – well, not think. I know it's going to pay dividends because the NFL, things happen. I can't remember the last time a quarterback they played in every game, but they get their bumps and bruises. And, here we're in the heart of the season now. They're going to start to – and Prescott's impressed me beyond anything I could ever have thought of. But the NFL, they figure things out. They figure out weaknesses. They figure this out. And he's going to have a little setback, no doubt about it. I'm not going to say they're losing, but he's going to have a setback. And that's when, you know, Romo's there, if not playing, but helping guide and coach him.
Now, Colleen, I got this question for you. Did he come out and give this speech for the Dallas Cowboy organization, for the fans, or was this to let that know that this is your team right now? I mean, what was his purpose behind that, from what you think?
I think all of the above.
Right.
That's honestly, I think that he wanted to do it on his terms instead of them announcing it, because that took the blame away from the coaches, the owner, the GM, the family. So by him announcing it, that took away that factor.
Right.
For him, he's already talked to Dak about it. So I don't think he did it for Dak, but he did it for the fans, so that hopefully, and for the media, so hopefully it would be less of a distraction. The whole Dak versus Romo thing would be less of a distraction.
And
not sure that worked, but
there was, I mean, I think if I'm that, I really feel a little bit more at ease being the starting quarterback and not worrying about Tony Romo as well. It couldn't have been a better scenario as a team type of concept, what Romo did. And you won't find this out of any player, guys. Out of any player, you will not find someone say, we're having a magical season. I mean, that was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
His speech was awesome, and I don't care that he read it from a piece of paper.
Are people beating him up about that?
I think he did that so that he would stay on track, and he would say the things he wanted to say.
And you just brought that up. I think Rich was amazed by that, too. People are giving him crap about him reading that off a paper.
Oh, my gosh. There's haters everywhere, like we talked about. They're going to find something to break you down. I mean, that was well written and well delivered and well said. And anybody that's ever had to deliver any kind of speech like that, you know, I've spoke at I don't know how many different funerals. It's not one of my favorite things to do. But I try and go from there to make sure I cover every topic, because it's a very touching moment. And I don't want to butcher that up by this and that and stuttering all over myself. So,
right.
I mean, my gosh, that was extremely well delivered, and he keyed it on the right points. I can't imagine. Well, I guess I should. The media.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the media has exactly. been really good with ESPN has really given it a thumbs up. NFL Network.
Well, and I was proud of Twitter. It was trending on Twitter. You know, I'm not 100% sure what that is, but now I am now. But, you think about all the stuff that normally trends on Twitter, all the ugliness. But something like that, I'm telling you, it made me feel everybody feel good together. Like you mentioned about Pat Tillman, the warrior thing. Give us hope. Give us belief in humanity. And that's what he did.
Hey. Yeah. Something completely away from the NFL. I don't know if you guys...
We want to hear it, Colleen. Throw it our way.
But there's a show called The Talk, and it's basically five women who discuss topics every day, and they brought up Tony Romo's speech on their show yesterday. and commented on how much respect he deserved and how awesome that speech was.
Right.
That's good.
It's making it all the way there. Now, when we get five guys together, we usually call that lunch around here. So... No, so, hey, let's switch gears a little bit.
One more thing I just came up. I just saw from Jerry Jones. It says, Romo's genuine statement made clear to the team what its future plans are. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, genuine, though. I'm sorry. That was two headlines together. I made it clear that he's a team player, 100% team, team above self. And, you know, that radiates in that locker room and in that huddle. Hey, we're all together on this thing. We're going to make something magical happen.
No, and go back to Jono's original point. I think it does resonate with the team that any doubt that they had in the back of their minds or in the corners of the locker room that, hey, when's Tony coming back, and those things that weigh on them because of the amount of social media out there and media coverage with them being the Cowboys or the NFL, all in all, that eliminates that pressure. It actually eliminates some pressure from Dak feeling, not that he's looking
over his shoulder.
It eliminates the pressure on Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. So it eliminates a lot of pressure. So there's a lot of things that he accomplished with that speech that hopefully will propel us into the second half and take us through the end of the season with a winning record and keep going with it.
All the way through. And focus is an amazing thing. When you've got to try and focus on two different things, you can't do it. As much as we all try and multitask, when we take our attention off one thing and put it on another, our focus is shifted. But now focusing, and that was a great thing Tony did. And once again, team, one last point about
Jerry Jones said that he actually said, let's see, where's this quote? He said that it's very tenable to see both Romo and Prescott on the roster a year from now, and he has no plans for Romo not to be a part of the Dallas Cowboys, not a consideration.
Well, of course he would say that during this season because there's no turmoil involved in anything.
Don't mess with a good thing.
You can't say that right now anyway.
Well, my last point on this, Dak Prescott is impressing the heck out of every one of us here, but he hasn't had the adversity, so we don't know what his makeup is just yet. So what I mean by that is, as much as Tony wants to play, let's get through this season and see how things pan out. Because sometimes a sophomore slump kicks in, and that's where you need Tony. So maybe he fills out the last couple years, and Dak, even though he had an impressive year this year, obviously I'm hoping this doesn't happen, but it's the NFL. Things happen. They figure things out. And, you've seen it how many times? We've all been football fans forever. That sophomore slump.
Great point with that RG3. I thought this guy was going to be around like a gem. And after the first year, he just went downhill.
Well, he got that injury. That's what happens. And I don't think there's a better example there, Jono. RG3.
And you have a rookie has never won the Super Bowl. They've taken him there, but they've never won it.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit because we had our show on Monday and we reviewed the Steelers game. But like we like to do for all of our fans out there, we want the professor's take on what you were going through. I saw on Twitter, and I'll have to pull it up again, but this guy named Scooter McGregor had a great like skit he did where he was just kind of going through the emotional roller coaster. And I'll show it to the guys after the show. The camera's on him and he went through the whole game, how his emotional roller coaster was going
up and down.
It was great. Mm-hmm. So how were you doing during the game, Colleen?
He does one of those every week.
Yes,
for the game, and it's hilarious. But actually, at the start of the game, I wasn't doing so good.
I wasn't doing good either.
Oh my gosh! But then I said, okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
I gave them this many touchdowns, so I'm okay. We're going to come back and just win this game.
Did you see our man Rich? He had the score 35-31. 31, it became 35-30. God bless you, Rich.
I know.
The pressure's on for this for this week.
Again, though, we're playing Baltimore. This is not a high-scoring team. They're coming into our house. I hope to God that we're not let down at all from the Pittsburgh game and just give some abuse to Baltimore. What's your take on the injuries and everything for our Cowboy team?
Here's the thing. First of all, we're 4-0 when it comes to playing the Ravens. We are the only team in the NFL who has never beat the Ravens.
Never been beaten, right?
No, that we have never beaten the damn Ravens.
Yeah,
no.
I'm looking back on Throwback Thursday. It says Ravens spoiled Cowboys' final game at Texas Stadium with two.
They have won 4 times, yep, and we have lost 4 times.
Jesus
and
Christ.
I can give you the scores on those.
I believe you, Colleen.
Yeah, it's not a pretty picture. And
it's time to change that damn thing around, huh?
Exactly. So that's one big concern I have going in there is that we just don't have a good record against them. The other thing is that while they haven't been doing all that great this season,
right?
They have also been missing some key players this season, and those players are going to be back for this Cowboys game.
You know what? They could bring their best. They could bring that whole Baltimore Raven team that beat us 4 straight. I don't care. This is a Cowboy team that does not take any crap and does not tolerate losing to a Baltimore Raven team. I'll tell you what, right now, guys, Colleen, this is going to be a nice old ass kicking. This is one of your roast smoked burgers or whatever the hell, smoked meat that you talk about, Steve-O.
You know I can smoke some meat, bud.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about your meat anymore.
I think that we're going to win this game without a doubt. I think we're going to finally break that streak.
Yeah,
and
that's
win
a great
it.
Call.
But because
I didn't know that they were
so good this year.
I didn't know they've ever won 4 in a row on us. Jesus Christ, guys.
It's going to be a street fight. I'm looking over the injuries.
We've only played them 4 times. We've only come up against them 4 times, and all 4 times we lost.
You know, one game I know that we should have won was that damn kick by we had a kicker. It put us in range, and what was that kicker's name? It happened like a couple years ago. He hit it short or something, and our guys played their ass off. It was in Baltimore, and that kicker went on to Baltimore, I think. And he played for Baltimore as well.
You're rambling right now, bud.
Drawing a blank.
Yeah, I mean, that one, they weren't playing Baltimore, and now he's
He played for Baltimore after our season.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he still play for us?
No. He's out now. Okay. Did I say he plays for Baltimore now?
No,
Steve was messing with me again, Colleen. So
yeah. I was thinking about that smoked meat. That's what thinking about some food.
Damn,
kind of hungry myself.
Yeah, so you know those games were 31-29, 33-24, 30-10, and 27-0.
27-0. Jesus, what the hell were we doing that day?
That would have been probably a Romo where he wasn't playing. But I like this weekend. I like the matchup. The Ravens don't scare me much. I expect a decent game out of Steve Smith just because that's what he normally does against the Cowboys in his career. But I, if you're a fantasy guy, pick him up. I expect 2 touchdowns out of Steve Smith. But I got
you're a goddamn traitor is what you are, son.
No. Here's what I got.
How the hell you pick him up for this week?
Hey. I didn't pick him up.
Blow it out your ass.
But I got I'm going 31-17 on them. I think we stick it to them, and I like it. But, Jono, and I know you hate this.
I totally hate it. I know whatever you say
This is another one of those games where you possibly have a trap because you have the Sunday game, and then you got to turn around on short rest and play at home again against the Redskins on Thanksgiving Day. So, you know, when you look at it, you cannot overlook these teams, even if you're 8-1, and you should walk all over them. We got to handle our business.
Colleen, anything on that trap thing?
Ravens have had 10 days to rest because they had a Thursday game a week ago.
Yeah.
So they've had a little bit more time to.
Well, and we just had a dog
fight.
So
good. They're not doing so good on the road. And they've thrown, Flacco has thrown two interceptions or more.
Per game?
per game on the road.
Yeah, well, that's great. I just hope that we get enough pressure on him and don't give him any time. We let Big Ben sit back there for a while, and he was a big buck to bring down too. There are a couple times when we held him, and we just couldn't get that big oaf down. So,
right.
But Flacco, I think he's not the same back there, and he'll scramble. He'll get abused a little bit.
He's a Jekyll and Hyde type quarterback, and he can definitely run up the throws. I mean, the guy's got a great arm. He's a Super Bowl winner. Okay, he can actually lead a team, but he's also that guy. He's like an Eli Manning. He will give you a couple of shots every game, guaranteed.
By forcing the ball.
By forcing the ball, by making a bad play, a bad decision. He's going to give you an opportunity. Can you capitalize on that opportunity and get a big turnover, maybe a pick six, something along those lines? He will give you that shot. You just got to be prepared for it.
That's what we've got to watch with Dak. They have been getting the interceptions. That's one thing that they have been getting. So not giving – Flacco's given up a couple interceptions, but they have been getting a lot of interceptions themselves.
What's the injury report looking like, Colleen?
I think we're good.
We're healthy.
Tyrone Smith worked out of practice.
Tyrone Smith didn't practice yesterday. He did practice today, in a limited capacity, but he's been limited for the last, I don't know, four games.
Yeah, I'm not buying into that anymore. He looked good.
I expect him to play and be just fine, although he's going to be matched up against Terrell Suggs.
Well, he's a beast.
Yeah, he is.
He's a beast. But you know what? He's been there a while.
He's kind of an ageless wonder. He's still playing good ball. I think the the Ravens 5-4, Cowboys 8-1. But the only concern I have is something that Steve-O just brought up. You know, we got a big game against the Redskins, interconference game there, and interdivision game with the Redskins on Thanksgiving, which is a short rest. So I'm hoping they focus on the Ravens here and take care of business.
Fellas,
I feel
we've been
good.
Doing this for years.
I know.
I mean, we've been doing this Thanksgiving thing.
We've got the Thanksgiving thing. And, you know, that goes way back when the Cowboys and the Lions agreed to play on Thanksgiving Day when nobody else did, so they locked it in as their every time.
No, this is part of their agenda. They know how to work this. This is part of their.
Jono, do you live in a rainbows and puppy dog life? I mean,
yes,
is that all you do?
Yes, I do.
I mean, can you not think outside the box for anything at
every
all?
Happened to your goddamn trap game last time? It was no trap. We thumped
it's
them again.
It's a possible trap game. It doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Colleen, I need you here. Colleen.
I hear this guy all the time.
Okay, I just want to – the Ravens who we're looking at right now, but I – and here I'm guilty. Guilty is charged of moving forward to the Redskins since we want to have a chance to. Are we going to be able to talk about this next week?
Why not?
We'll figure something out.
You know what? I'm leaving the Redskins alone then. But what? I'm gonna, last thing, because I brought it up. Our 1989 1-15 season, Thanksgiving night.
Well, you guys are bringing me down.
Cowboys beat the Redskins. That was their only win that year.
Yeah. Well, great.
I mean,
Troy Aikman bringing up the 1-15 again.
Colleen, we've had a full slate here today. We had the hockey show that came in before us, and then another show and another show and another show. Then we bumped so we could go grab a little lunch. We came back and did this one. Jono and me might choke each other out after this because I'm going to tell him he's wrong on a bunch of stuff here.
I just don't get into this tramp stuff. I really don't. I really believe once you get on that field, after the first couple hits, everything's back to normal again, you don't start thinking about
– You're not
I'm falling into a trap. I'm going to lose this one. The hell with that. This is the Baltimore Ravens. We should walk all over this team. Forget the past 4-0 crap. We're looking at this. Did we give up when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Germans.
Pearl Harbor.
Dynamite drop in there, Monty. That broadcast school's really paying off.
Yes, sir.
This is what we're dealing with. Now on the injury report, Swaim is on the injured reserve now, right? He's out for the rest of the season.
Is he really?
Yeah. So I think, let's see, you think Escobar, which he's been suitable for us for the last couple of years.
Escobar was moved to the... No, he wasn't. Sorry.
Escobar's ready to roll.
Yep.
I think Swain's took a little hit there, didn't he?
Swain took a little hit.
Swaim that is on the... They moved Swaim to the injured
reserve. Power shoulder or something. He's out.
By the way, isn't that a beautiful name for a football player, especially a tight end named Swaim?
Swaim.
Yeah.
What are you going to want? Lynn Swan next?
Yeah, oh, what the hell is Lynn Swan?
Listen to this guy. Hey, okay.
No, you put him on your wall. he has too, Colin. He's got a Lynn Swan.
You know
on
what
his
else
wall.
I forgot one on that wall of despair there for the Cowboys because it's not framed up yet is Don Beebe getting the ball away from Leon Lett in the Super Bowl. That one is actually down in the basement, ready to be framed. It's not on the wall yet, but another one of those.
Right when he slapped it
out? Yeah,
right
when he slapped it out.
Oh, my gosh.
So, God bless you. Put that on your wall, too.
Will do. So, hey, let's get to some positive stuff since you're rainbows and puppy dogs, Jono.
Yes, sir.
So here we go. Dak Prescott is killing all the rookie records, which may not ever be matched. If he goes through this full 16 seasons, we might never see another rookie record fall from that standpoint,
right.
Okay? And Elliott joins, who is it, Eric Dickerson and Adrian Peterson as the only NFL rusher to get 1,000 yards in their first 9 games their rookie year. So we got a lot of positive things come back. And if you remember from one of our first shows, we set the over and under for Ezekiel Elliott at 1,200 yards this year,
right,
which we're at 1,005 now, so... I'm guessing hopefully this game we get it. I will say this. By this time next week, what time do they play on Thanksgiving Day?
They play it the later.
Okay, so maybe.
We don't play at night. We play in the 3 o'clock game.
The 3 o'clock,
4 o'clock game, yeah.
So, hey, in 8 days, he's gonna well exceed that 1,200-yard mark that we set as the over-under. Steve-O wins that bet.
Nice.
There you go.
Mic drop.
Give yourself a pat on the back. Colleen, what's your call right now on if things go like Steve said with Dak and you got Elliott, which one do you give as the MVP? I mean, honest to God, if we don't have Dak, we may not have a successful Cowboy team like in the past. But if we don't have Elliott, I don't know. I'm tossing a coin every time on this one.
That's what it's going to come down to, tossing the coin. I think ultimately, just because he's the quarterback, they end up giving it to Dak. But,
That may happen, but you know what? Steve-O mentioned something that I don't think, as he was going, there might be one more thing to this is, I don't remember, maybe it was your Rams guy back in 1999, where we've got a 1,000-yard rusher and a 1,000-yard receiver all in 1 year. I mean, that was Marshall Faulk, wasn't it? Was the last one that did that, and that was in 1990. I'm not sure about that. I'm just saying.
I know he had it. He was a 2,000-yard guy that year.
I haven't seen anyone do something like that again, and we may have something like that in the works here too.
Well, you're talking about two separate players.
No, Ezekiel Elliott getting both 1,000 yards and rushing and 1,000
yards. Does he have that many receiving yards, though?
He's got like 400, 500 right now.
Does he?
I know
he got 83 on one chunk last against the Steelers, that screen play, pass.
I think
that
he's how many yards passing does he have or receiving does he have, Colleen? Do you have that?
Look it up here real quick.
No.
We got that. Okay, our Rich is going to look that up.
Well, Sausage Fingers won't get on his keyboard.
Yeah, he's talking to you, Rich.
He loves it when I say that, Colleen.
Did you see that they added Vince Neil from they added him to the 53-man roster to use on special teams?
Yeah, that's the one area that I think I'm really kind of skeptical about.
We need help.
The kickoff team is giving up way too much sometimes, and I'm more worried about that than anything, and I don't know why our kicker just doesn't kick it in the end zone all the time now. I don't know why we have to keep kicking it right to the goal line on some sort of lob. And I think he does it on purpose, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's trying to trap that guy into coming out, I think.
I think so, too. He's trying to kick it on the goal line because they get the 25 now as opposed to the 20. So they're trying to kick it high enough to get down there and shut them down.
It's not working. It's not working. Get rid of that game plan right now.
John's kicking it out. Where are we at?
What's Elliott got on the receiving?
Oh, no, I lost it here. Oh,
here we go.
Elliott, 18 receptions, 250 yards, 13.9 average, and only one touchdown.
Okay, so he's got 250. I don't know if he's capable of getting in the last seven, eight games. No. I don't think that's going to happen. But if that did happen, I think that'd be the big explanation point.
You guys, and this is a little bit of a shock to me, but it just goes to show the importance of a Cole Beasley. He's our leading receiver. 532 yards, four touchdowns, and 11.1 average per reception. It's Cole Beasley, and of course, Ezekiel 1,005 yards, and Prescott. How many yards do you think he's got, guys?
Prescott?
Yeah.
Well, what's he got, Steve? Well, you just mentioned it.
Well, I don't know what he has, but I would guess in the – let's see, we were eight games in. I would guess in the 2,200-yard range.
Very good guess. 23-39, 14 touchdowns, and ready for this? How many interceptions?
Two.
Yeah. Two. Think about that ratio, 14 to 2. I wonder if his quarterback – well, I don't know.
I think it's somewhere in that 104 range.
That thing's complicated, but that's amazing. So, Cole Beasley, I mean, who would have thought that? Would you guys have thought that at the beginning of the year?
No.
Who has Cole Beasley on their fantasy roster?
Everybody.
At the beginning of the year, I'm talking about.
Okay, Colin, we're running down to our last 10 minutes here. What do you project here on this score coming up with the Baltimore Ravens?
I'm going to say 27-20. If it goes higher than that, it's going to be
damn it, you made it close
spread.
Again.
It'll only be 5 points if it difference. Or, right. I mean, 4 points difference if we go over.
Well, John, I'll get the line out. What do you got on America's line there?
I'll check that out. Rich,
well,
what's your score on this one?
I wish I would have jumped out ahead of Colleen there. I was dreaming up 27-10 is what I was going with. So, I don't know.
27-10, you see a blowout here happening.
Yeah. I mean,
all right, good.
The Ravens, I don't think they're going to put up any points because they're all defense.
Lad.
They're all defense. But, 27-10.
They're not a sexy team at all.
They've never been a sexy team. Even in the Super Bowl, it was the most – I don't know. You've got to have a defense. You've got to have a foundation. But I don't know. I like the explosiveness. I like offense. I think most people do.
Absolutely. And I'm going to stick with the 31-17. I think Steve Smith picks up a couple of touchdowns, a pair of touchdowns for him. I think that you're going to see 100 yards out of Elliott. I think Prescott will get another 300-yard game. Okay?
Yeah.
And the Cowboys will continue their time of possession dominance, which was going into Steelers game over 33 minutes, by far leading the NFL in time of possession. And those 10-plus play drives will wear down that Ravens defense, 31-17.
Well, and those 10-plus play drives are all attributed to those third and shorts that we're picking up this year that we haven't done in the past. That brings up the next question. Is Elliott going to they're going to rest him a little bit this week? Are they going to keep feeding him the rock? Or what are we going to do there?
He's the same as usual. And I'm not even worried about Smith. I think the best wideout they have right now is Wallace. Wallace is the guy to look out for. He's the guy that's going to be breaking things open. But I think this is going to be another blowout here is what I'm seeing.
Blowout.
I don't care what you say about your little rainbow and all the puppies and all the crap you're talking about. I look at this one being a 42-13 type of game here. It's going to be over by halftime. You guys could just relax and enjoy.
Then what do we do?
42-13 over by halftime.
That's what I'm saying, sir.
Is Romo playing?
No, and the spread on this one is -7 Cowboys.
Okay.
So Colleen had it at 27-20. What did you?
27-10.
Okay, you had us beating the spread.
Yeah.
31-17.
Oh, there you go. You finally have. It's not a trap game. It's a trap game.
So Colleen, what Cowboys are up big. We rest Elliott and Prescott, or what do we do here?
Go ahead, Colleen. He wants to know, do we see a cameo out of Romo, basically?
Well, out of Romo, but what about Elliott? We've limited his touches if we've got him, you know.
That's been happening
lately. Well, they've been popping
Morris in there,
and they even put Dunbar in there in the game against the Steelers. So,
and they had them in the first half where they guess they're saving LA for the second half to wear them down.
Yeah, but Colleen, I think the main question, Colleen, is if we are blowing this team out, do you see Romo? I think that's what the public is looking for. You do see Romo?
Sure, why not?
Okay, I don't know about that.
I mean, because they put Mark Sanchez in.
Yeah, I don't think I ever want to see Sanchez. If we could be up by 100, I don't think I want to see Sanchez in.
Listen, this guy doesn't believe that somebody can get injured. Quarter.
Yeah, I just don't like Sanchez.
Yeah, but you got –
he may run into our offensive lineman and fall and break his neck.
Yeah, a butt fumble. Hey, but that's the thing, man. You got to start thinking that there's real shit out there in the world that can happen.
No, only to you, pal. You're the one that scares the hell out of me because I don't like pessimistic people like that all the time talking negative. I think that we should stay positive, and what we're doing is very positive.
Do you wear your seatbelt when you drive?
I do.
Okay.
Only when there's state troopers around.
So it's the same thing. It's being safe. Better safe than sorry.
I think the important question is, now that we're talking about pessimism and optimism and all those things, what about the Viagra commercials this week? What are we looking forward to there, Jono?
What's the over-under? Hold on. Over-under. Under Cowboys Viagra commercials. Game. Maybe this one. How about this one, Colleen?
I don't want to hear about the Viagra commercial.
Colleen, you heard Jono's rant on the Viagra commercials last show, right?
Yes.
So let's set the over-under.
The reptile dysfunction.
Okay. We're going to get to see three games on.
I just don't want that on my TV with my kid watching. That's all I'm saying. I got to mention reptiles and everything. I got to say dragons and snakes are coming.
So you got a noon or whatever. Maybe it's an 11:30 game and then a 3:30 game. Then you got the night game on Thanksgiving Day. All right.
Big family day.
I will not buy into that night game.
Okay. How many?
I'll ride with you, Steve.
How many erectile dysfunction
reptile
dysfunction commercials? I'm going to set the over under at 5.
Ooh,
get out of here! I'm not going to sit there and count Viagra commercials for one. But I'm saying to
I don't like that around there.
Yeah, Cialis.
EDs.
Yeah, all your EDs. If they mention erectile dysfunction,
reptile.
I'm setting it.
Can you say reptile?
I don't want to hear that.
EDs.
Oh, God.
I'm taking the over.
Yeah. Oh, I'm well over. I thought you were going to say 9.
Colleen, we've lost her.
You've offended Colleen.
Gosh.
I can't believe you went there.
I can't believe you're doing this.
Yeah, I know. I don't either, Colleen. He brings up a smoked meat. Like,
Colleen,
two weeks ago
take the fifth.
Yeah, take the fifth.
Anyway,
Colin, that's what I got. I got 42-13 on this one.
27-10.
27-10. Colin's got 27-20, and you got Viagra. What do you got?
31-17 and the over.
31-17. That's what he's got.
Over. The ED's up.
All right. Say, folks, if you like our show, go to lineupmedia.fm. There's so many other shows that you guys could listen into, tune in. It's great. And if you're out there and you love to shop on Amazon, where there's a lot of great prices right now, go to cowboyspodcast.com/Amazon. You can shop there as well. And you can catch all our past episodes. You could see why Steve's wrong half the times with all the other episodes. And if you like, just scroll down on cowboyspodcast.com and scroll down on episodes. And on your right-hand side, you'll see Amazon. Click away and shop away, and we get a little love back. Anything going on this week, Colleen? Anything this weekend? You having the girls over for a big game?
No, but we are officially adding our 20,000th member to the group. And
all right.
We've already got – we're actually going to go way over on our 20,000.
Nice.
And I've already got them lined up and adding them, so we actually already know who that person is. Her name is Joanna Sayers.
Way to go, Joanna. Way to be that number 20, number 20. And actually, on our site, too, in less than 3 weeks, we've hit like close to 6,000 right now on Facebook. So
jackpot.
Everything's moving in our right direction as well. So, Colleen, so you're watching the game at your house?
I am watching the game at my house.
Your house? What about you, Big Rich?
Yeah, we'll be home Sunday watching it with the fam, and then Thursday we're hosting Thanksgiving. I try and do that every year so we can
excellent.
Stay there. Well, we'll talk more about Thanksgiving next week.
And Steve-O, you'll be watching with some Baltimore Raven fans?
I'll be watching with fantasy football fans, that's for sure.
I got you. Okay, great, which I never sit around watch where they're going to be cheering on the other team. But for me, I have my own TV. I've been winning with this TV. I bought this TV, this curved TV. It's
don't change it.
Danny, I'm not moving. My wife's been trying to kick me out. Not happening. I got that living room, and I've been doing everything she's been wanting me to do just so I can watch this game. All right, folks, from Cowboy Nation here, hey, Steve-O, Rich, Colleen, Jono, we are out of here.
Go, boys.
Go, boys.
Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.